Well, good evening, folk. And thank you for logging on again to join us as we close out the day in corporate worship. Thank you to Ben for leading us too. This mask has been really the kind of icon of 2020, 2021, hasn't it? We see everyone, everywhere we go now, wearing these things. And if you find if you go for a long walk, or if you work for a whole day with one of these, after a while, you almost feel like it's hard to breathe. It feels kind of stifling, doesn't it, after a while? And that's kind of, I think, how many of us feel in this current lockdown. We feel stifled. We're feeling kind of like it's hard to breathe. It's been a massive disruption to our life. We're seeing all kinds of conflict between governments, between premiers and leaders. If we spend too much time in the news, we can become incredibly distressed. There's no clear path back to any kind of a normalcy. So it's very easy right now to fall into all kinds of dismay, distress, even depression. And so I thought it was really timely tonight to look at what God's word says about his grace to us in our trials, in times of anxiety, in times of stress. So thank you for logging in. I think it's really important for us to hear God's holy word to us and how we can be assured even in times of trial. But why don't we start with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have enabled us to gather as we can tonight, Lord. And Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace to us, that you have left us in no doubt about your grace and assurances to us in our hurts, in our trials, in our grief, and in our distress, Lord. So, Lord God, I pray this evening you would help me to faithfully open and expound your holy word. And Father, give all of us hearts to receive this word, ears to hear, Lord. And Father, help us this week go forth looking to you, Lord, with a greater trust in you, less worried, Father, by the troubles around us in the world today, Father, and more with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And Lord, we pray this in his name. Amen. As I said, we're living in a very anxious time, and we're stuck at home. We couldn't see our families or our wider families today on Father's Day. We can't travel anywhere. Most of the shops are shut down. We're feeling this incredible kind of weight of isolation. And it is distressful. And it does cause all kinds of duress. So it's good to hear what God says to us in such times. I read in The Australian that the kind of disruption, the kind of crisis we are going through right now in the world, we've not gone through since World War II. It has been a massive disruption in every sphere of life all over the world. And so, yes, we do feel a lot of distress, a lot of disruption. But praise God, we have a living hope. We have a loving Heavenly Father. Now, God is, of course, amazingly loving and gracious to us. And we read throughout the Bible his words of assurance time and time again. The Bible speaks a lot about how we are prone to worry, how we are prone to have anxiety. There are many phrases in the Hebrew and Greek that describe worry and anxiety. Phrases like to be fretful, to be without peace, to be anxious, to be distracted, to be concerned, to be troubled, to be weighed down with cares, to be distressed, to be heavy-hearted, and to be despairing. King David in his Psalms writes a lot about his worries, his distress, his anxieties. For example, in Psalm 139, verse 23, David cries out and says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." God knows we are prone to anxiety. The psalmists take their anxiety to God in prayer. Mary was filled with worries and anxieties as she prepared a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And the Lord himself offers us amazingly gracious counsel and wisdom to us in our anxieties and worries. Read throughout the epistles, there is much instruction about what we are to do with our worries and our anxieties and our distress. Now, we could speak for weeks about God's amazing grace to us, including in our trials and distress. But today we're going to look at just four headings, four things God says we should do with our distress, with our worries and anxieties. And they are these: concentrate on the good gifts God gives us, consider God's sovereignty, constantly trust in the Lord, and comfort others who are also hurting. So let's look at these four headings together, starting with point one. When worried, concentrate on the gifts God gives us. As you heard Ben read before, we'll just read again now that wonderful passage, Philippians 4, 4 through 9. If you have your Bible still open, it's Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Listen to what Paul says about what we are to do with our anxieties. He writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Isn't that a beautiful passage of assurance? Now, note firstly, there is a direct command in there. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And this is a very hard command to keep, because we live in an age of anxiety. Most industries right now are being shut down, except the media. The media is pouring out a great concentration of bad news. I've worked in the media for 20 years, and I can tell you bad news sells. The media is not there to tell you what is happening. They are there to sell you to advertisers, and they know that bad news sells. And in a time of global pandemic, there's a lot of bad news to tell you. So be very wary of spending too much time consuming the media, and know and understand the media is giving you a great concentration of anxiety and bad news. So it's very hard to not be anxious, especially with such disruption in our lives. But Paul tells us what to do with our anxieties. And the great his great point is this: take your anxieties, take your fears to the Lord in prayer. Yes, we get anxious. King David got anxious. We will worry. We will fear. We live in a fallen world. But we are not like those who have no hope. We have a wonderful remedy to anxiety. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving is a beautiful word. It is eucharista. It means gratitude, hearts filled with thanks. And so a key remedy to anxiety is this: thankfulness. Yes, pray your anxieties to God always. Whenever you find yourself lying in bed awake at night, worrying, ruminating, stop, pray it all to God and give it all to God in prayer. And remember, we are called to walk in thankfulness. You see, when we become anxious, our mind kind of narrows down, we get tunnel vision, and we focus only on our worries. We lose perspective. We lose perspective, and we forget all of the amazing things God has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us. We forget our God is powerful. We forget all of the good gifts God gives us. We read in James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Worry is a loss of perspective. Remember all of God's gifts. Remember, he is watching over us minute by minute. Take your eyes off yourself. cast them on Jesus. We are those who abide in Christ. We have been given so many good things. Even in times of trial, we are both given the power and given the command to be thankful. Even in our prayers, pray with thankfulness. Beware that to ruminate, to be lost in a spiral of anxiety, is to lose perspective on all the wonderful good things God has done. When you wake up at 3 a.m. worrying, turn it over to God in prayer and then consider all of the wonderful gifts God has done for us. Another key remedy for worry is this: to focus our minds on things that are good and lovely. Back to that verse 8. It's a very key and important remedy here. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul is addressing our thought life. Where does worry, where does anxiety, where does stress take place? In our minds, in our thought life. It isn't the pandemic causing you to lose sleep. It is worrying about the pandemic. So rather than worrying about all the bad things happening all around Australia, all around the world, fix your minds on whatever is commendable. And nothing is more commendable than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. We should take our minds off our worries and always be turning back to God, focusing on our loving Heavenly Father, focusing on the glory, the beauty, the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 5, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who are according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. We are called to think about good things, honorable, commendable things. That means spending less time consuming the God-free media of the world, which presents only the problems, never God's grace. Spend more time on God and his holy word. We read in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. When we stray into worry, and we will often do that in times of strife like we're in right now, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Think about things that are honorable. Here are some applications. Be very wary of the great inundation of news media. Like never before, there's always a constant cycle of news media coming onto your TV, onto your smartphones, even in your social media. Be very wary of spending too much time consuming all the bad news and the anti-God spirit of the age by spending too much time consuming news. Yes, we do it. We get a kind of a dopamine hit as we read a whole stream of never-ending news, but it's not good for us. It causes us to worry and be anxious and to be even angry about all of the strife in the world, all of the strife and folly in government. Turn off the news feed. Put aside your phone. Open your Bible. Read a psalm. Read through the epistles, read through the gospels, consider the grace and beauty and loveliness of our Lord Jesus. If you're lying in bed at night and you're too worried or too anxious to even read, put on your Bible app like YouVersion, listen to the Bible. If you're worried but you're too tired to even listen to the Bible, listen to some beautiful hymns and hear those wonderful words of praise to God. Sing them in your mind. Pray them as you listen. But turn off the tap of never-ending bad news and turn your eyes upon Jesus by looking to him and his word and hymns that praise him. We are called, as we heard this morning, to walk closely in Christian fellowship, to live all of life together. We should be able to call a Christian brother, call a Christian sister, and pray together. Tell them your worries. We're called to walk so closely that we are mutually accountable, that we can talk through what is on our heart and pray for each other. This means growing together in Christ to the point where we can be honest and vulnerable. Don't bear your worries, your anxieties, your distress alone. Pray with your brethren. Talk with your brethren. Pray for each other. We have all these wonderful means to help us walk as followers of Jesus. We are called to pray constantly and without ceasing, with thankfulness, and to do life together. We heard that wonderful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I love that line, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Pray to God and remember all the good things he has done, is doing, and will do in you and for you, and pray to him. Pray out your worries. Well, point two, when you're anxious, when you're worried, when you're upset, remember God's sovereignty. Remember, God is sovereign. He is all-powerful, and he has a good plan to work all things for his glory and for the good of those who love him. Just going to read a couple of key verses from Romans 8 that talk about God's sovereignty, talk about God's plan. Romans 8, verse 18, Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And then in verses 24 through 28, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen that is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Now, note firstly, Paul is saying there that the believer's future hope, our future glory, is so great, it's so wonderful, it's so eternal, that our present sufferings aren't even worth thinking about, not even worth comparing this light and momentary affliction. Note what Peter says. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verse 4, "Our final salvation is kept in heaven, ready to be revealed in the last time." We are not like our neighbors who have no hope. We have an amazing hope of glory to come, an amazing future ahead of us. And remember that our troubles, no matter how big they feel right now, are light and momentary when we remember the future that is ahead of us. When we cast our minds ahead to our glorious homecoming, we get perspective on our troubles. Now, what is that homecoming going to be like? Well, we read a lot about our glorious homecoming, but consider these words. This describes very much, I think, literally our future. We read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, we read this. This is our future. "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" That is our future. That is our hope. That is where the future of this world is heading. We are not stuck in an endless cycle of suffering and pain. God is sovereign. The future is working to the consummation of the kingdom, the restoration of all things, and our restoration to our Father's side in glory at the return of our glorious Lord and Savior. And so Paul says, in the meantime, we are those who are called to wait patiently, remembering that our troubles by comparison are a light and momentary thing. God is working all things for his glory and his purposes. He is completely in control. nothing takes him by surprise. Consider the words of Isaiah 46, verse 9. This is God speaking. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. God is completely sovereign. Paul said also, right now in our weakness, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness as we do not always know how we ought to pray. And don't we need the Spirit's help right now in our current distress, this current disruption? The Holy Spirit helps us pray to our loving Heavenly Father, and God is overseeing all things for the good of those who love him. Verse 28. When anxiety comes, and it will come and it does come, remember, God is sovereign. He is totally in control. He says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Who is in control of the pandemic, the lockdowns? Is it Wuhan? Is it China? Is it our state governments? No. It is God. God is our security. God is our protector. We read in Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We can trust God. God is completely sovereign. He's in control. Trust him. And point three is this: when we're worried, constantly trust and obey the Lord. That wonderful hymn, trust and obey. It's so important for us to trust God when we feel anxiety. I may have used this illustration before, but it's one that just stayed with me. I can recall when I was about 6 years old, we were in the hills above Perth, my mum and dad and brother and me. And we were exploring these trails, and we came across this huge, dark train tunnel. It was abandoned, and it ran through a mountain and out the other side. And Dad, being quite intrepid, decided that we were going to explore this train tunnel. So we walked into this huge train tunnel, and the further we got, the darker it got. We couldn't see the light ahead of us, and after a while, we couldn't see the light behind us. It was a pitch black and inky black. It was so dark, we couldn't see our hands in front of our faces. And being a brave six-year-old boy, I cried. I was scared and started to cry. So Dad picked me up, put me on his shoulders, and carried me through that dark tunnel and out to the other side. Well, right now, it can feel like we're all in a bit of a dark tunnel. We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We've had 18 months or more of disruption. We can't see a return to normal life, but our Heavenly Father is with us in this trial. He is caring for us like my father cared for me in the dark tunnel we're going through. Like little Darren trusting in Dad, we are called to trust in our Heavenly Father in times of trial, in times of suffering. He is willing and able to carry us through every trial, every amount of suffering. God is with us, redeeming our suffering and causing us to grow in Christ's likeness. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave us wonderful words of assurance when we are prone to worry. We read in Matthew 6, verse 25, he was speaking to the crowds in Galilee, and he said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then continuing from verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He was speaking to a crowd of Jews, many of whom were quite impoverished, living in rural Galilee. Many of those Jews were day laborers. If they didn't work that day, they didn't get paid. They didn't always know where their next meal would come from. And yet he was saying, trust in your heavenly Father. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. When we worry about our lives and when we worry about our current troubles, we are forgetting our loving, powerful Heavenly Father who promises to supply our needs. We are taking our eyes off God. We are like Peter. When Christ called Peter to walk to him on the Sea of Galilee, he walked but began to sink when he looked at the waves and took his eyes off Christ. When we worry, we are taking our eyes off Jesus. God has numbered even the hairs on our head. He knows us intimately. We can trust him. And note too, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. We often waste today by being worried and anxious about tomorrow and things that may not even happen. He says he gives us grace sufficient for today. People all around us are worried about this pandemic, and they should be. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know the Creator of the universe as your loving Heavenly Father, I say worry. Go move out back. Get away from all the madness. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. But if you're in Christ, and praise God we are in Christ, we know that we have a loving Heavenly Father who generously meets all of our needs, who sent his own beloved Son to die for our sin. Don't be worried about tomorrow. Focus upon today. This is a command from our glorious and gracious Lord and Savior. And we have been both called and empowered to trust and obey our Lord. And trusting him is a wonderful remedy to fear and anxiety. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 12, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Note the wonderful trust there that Isaiah expresses. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I like what Sproul writes. He says, I do worry about tomorrow, and I repent of that. Yes, we are inclined to worry. We are frail. We have feet of clay. But God knows we are frail. He knows we are dust. And if you have an anxious personality, you're going to be more inclined to worry than others. But turn over your worries to God in prayer. Treat each time you start to worry as a call to pray and remember our loving Lord and Savior. Remember our loving Heavenly Father who is bigger than our turmoil, who is gracious to his children. We have these wonderful assurances like in Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Note that he doesn't rebuke those who are crushed in spirit. He saves them. God is loving. He is gracious. Psalm 103, verse 14. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Trust in our Lord and obey him when he says, don't be anxious, but trust him. And our fourth and final point is this. When we are going through times of distress, especially as a people, it's so important that we comfort others who are hurting. Comfort others who are hurting. Looking now at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. And we read there, Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Note that. God himself comforts us in our affliction. We read in Psalm 121, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God comforts us in our affliction. And we are then called as his loving children, as his beloved children, to comfort each other, to comfort others who are hurting. This can be a phone call. It can be just checking in on them. It can be praying with them. But we are called to live life together in a self-giving, a selfless, loving community. We are called to rejoice with those who rejoice, to mourn with those who mourn. Romans 12:15. We are called to comfort our brethren in their affliction. In the book of Job, when Job went through all that terrible calamity and he was sitting in dust and ashes, covered in sores, his three friends came to him, and for 7 days they mourned with Job as he mourned. For 7 days they were very good comfort. And then they spoiled it all by speaking and condemning Job. We are called to enter into the suffering of those who suffer among us. Paul Barnett, the Australian scholar, writes this. If we are to be used by God to comfort and encourage, we must be prepared to listen without interruption to our brethren when they are suffering, to allow others to express to us their deepest feelings. A listening ear can be a great comfort to our brethren in their afflictions. We are called to comfort each other with the comfort with which God has comforted us. James writes in James 1:27, a religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. He is saying that we are to work out our faith by loving our brethren, especially those who are suffering, the widows and orphans and others who are suffering. This is how we are used by Jesus, and we use our gifts and time and energy to bless our brethren as they too go through times of suffering, times of distress, times of anxiety. It's so important to do life together closely as brethren in the Lord. Ask God to help you, to direct you in helping others. It can be a phone call, it can be a hot meal, it can be a visit when we're allowed, but it's so important to share the burden of suffering. The worst thing is that when you are suffering and going through turmoil and anxiety, the worst thing is to suffer in silence. Pray to God. Read the Bible. Listen to hymns, but reach out to a Christian brother or sister. Pray together. We are called to walk closely. It's a very important way God has called us to bless each other in times of anxiety and in times of suffering. Remember, too, we are called to walk in healthy rhythms of work and rest. At this time of disruption, we're going to need more rest than usual. Be gentle to yourself. Rest. Understand if you feel flat. We are going through a time of anxiety. We are called to live closely together in self-giving love. Yes, we live in an age of anxiety, but remember all that God has done for us and is doing for us and has promised to do for us. When we feel worry, anxiety, stress, remember these things. Firstly, remember the gifts that God gives us. Every good gift comes down from God, and he has poured out upon us, lavished upon us his grace. He has made us his own beloved children. Remember the good things God gives us day by day. Secondly, when anxiety comes upon you, pause and remember, God is sovereign. He's all powerful. He's working all things together for his purposes, and all things are working together towards the return of Jesus in glory. And we have an amazing future, an amazing homecoming, compared to which our sufferings are not even worth thinking about. When you feel worried, when you feel anxious, stop and remember that we are called to trust in the Lord. And this is not an onerous command, because God is all powerful. He is sovereign, and he has loved us so much. He sent his own son to die for our sins, that we could be saved and washed and cleansed and made his own beloved children. And he is preparing for us an amazing glory ahead of us. We have every reason in the world to trust God. In fact, for a Christian, to worry is to be illogical, because our loving Heavenly Father is completely in control. And to worry then is to lose perspective. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remember, God is sovereign. And fourthly and finally, to recap, when times of anxiety come, and they have come right now, we are called to comfort each other with the comfort we have received from God ourselves. We are called to bear with each other in love, Ephesians 4, verse 2. And there will always be among us folk who are more prone to anxiety and distress than others. And we are called to mourn with those who mourn and to rejoice with those who rejoice. We have so many wonderful assurances from God when we go into times of worry. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Take your worries to God in prayer. Remember his good gifts. Remember he is sovereign. Care for each other in our sufferings, and fix your eyes on the hope that is to come. And when we do this, we become very powerful witnesses to our amazing Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow for it in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all of your wonderful assurances to us that, Lord God, you are sovereign. Father, you have saved us and blessed us and lavished upon us grace and many good things, Father. And every good gift every day is a gift from you. Lord, help us not to lose perspective by worrying. Help us to remember you are sovereign. Father, you are in control. Father, help us to fix our minds on all that is good and noble, to fix our minds on Jesus. And Lord God, help us as a church to live and walk closely in love, to love and care for each other in our sufferings, Lord. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.